In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Welcome this morning to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Today we remember the day of Pentecost, when God poured out the Spirit on those early believers gathered in Jerusalem. Friends, we worship a generous God, and there is a whole lot more pouring out of the Spirit to go around. Let us worship together today in spirit and truth, faithfully preparing the way for the Spirit to move in our midst. I invite you to stand now and turn to number 19 in Sing the Journey. I will call upon the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. 50 days, brothers and sisters. That's 7 times 7 plus 1. That's long enough for grapes that have been crushed to be fermented into wine. And it was just long enough after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that God decided the time was right to unleash a new and unsettling force onto and into God's people. And we are all together here today because of that unsettling force, and we continue to faithfully await the unstoppable rising of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray. Won't you join me? Spirit of God, hovering among us, mysterious are your ways. May your web be woven, may your seeds be spread, that we would see this ground a little more like heaven. Give us this day our daily fire, and lead us not into what is expected, but deliver us into a holy surprise. Infect us with your leavening. Give us the power to rise up without stopping, to boil without scalding, to transform without making a sound. Meet us in the cellars of the world, the dark places where your people gather, and give to us tongues of cool fire and the patience to ferment, so that when the time is right, we will all be ready to serve the world new wine from new wineskins, a new spirit to restore to us the joy of our salvation, a new cup to share at every table, freely given to those made free by the power of God's love. Amen.
In your blue folder, Prairie Street Sings, turn to number 43. Number 43, Our God Reigns, and I think we probably need to stand up to sing this one. Take the purple, sing the story, and turn to number 106. Number 106. And we will sing the verses and the chorus in English.
Thank you.
We come now to our time of confession. Please join me in a prayer of confession. Our God, we come in humility, confessing who and what we are. We are often unresponsive, for we are afraid. When your Spirit speaks, we turn deaf ears, for we fear what you might call us to do. When your Spirit touches our lips, we close our mouths, for we are not confident in the power of your word. And when the wind of your Spirit blows, we close the windows of our hearts, afraid the breeze will disrupt our ordered lives. And when the fire of your Spirit touches us, we quench the flame, afraid of the new life that it brings. Forgive us, O Lord. Sisters and brothers, please rise to hear these words of assurance. Family, God has promised through the prophet Ezekiel that God will pour out God's Spirit within us, and we shall live, and God will place us on our own soil, and then we will know that God, the Lord, has spoken and will act. We know that God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has mercy on us and forgives our sins through the Lord Jesus. So let us share Christ's peace with the world, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." As we finish greeting each other with the peace of Christ, I would invite the children who are present to come forward.
We need some more children up here because we got a special job today. All right, and Ava, you can come closer too if you want. Oh, you know, the one day I didn't bring the basket, you have offering. Okay, I tell you what, how about you put it in with the regular offering when we take it later, okay? Can you do that? Do you know there is one person who is here at church every Sunday, no matter what? Do you know who it is? Grown-ups, do you know who it is? Who's the one person that's here every Sunday?
You.
You guys aren't agreeing. I was thinking about Jesus. Jesus teaches us that whenever two or three people are gathered in his name, that he is right there in the middle with them, just as close as you touching the person next to you in the pew. So we know that no matter who is here, Jesus is always here. But did you know Jesus is present in our worship in several different ways? So first of all, in that way that the Holy Spirit makes it possible that Jesus is with us when we pray. Now today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, communion. And whenever Christians share the bread and cup and we remember how Jesus did that with his friends, Jesus promises that he is with us in that action whenever we do that. So that's another way that Jesus is here. And then the third way is that Jesus is present in God's word, right? In the Bible, in the scriptures. Jesus is the word of God. So when we read from the Bible, Jesus is right here with us. And when Mrs. Kreider was visiting another church, she saw there the children had a very special part in the service in that they welcomed the word of God into their service in a special way before it was read. And because this is a special day, Pentecost, a time of the Spirit, we are going to do a procession and the children are going to bring God's word, which right now is located near the back of where we're worshiping. We're going to go get the Bible and we're going to bring it up here. And we have, last week, children in worship made fire sticks. And these are things that they can wave as we process. And I'm going to have one of you that's maybe not Avi carry the Bible because it is a little bit heavy, okay? But I have enough fire sticks for more than just the children, so if you want to be in our procession, you can come and join us, okay? So I invite the children to come, grab one of these and come on back with me, and we're going to sing Holly, Holly again.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Hoy leemos de Hechos capítulo 2, versículo 1 al 13. Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, todos ellos estaban juntos en el mismo lugar. De repente, un estruendo como de fuerte viento vino del cielo y sopló y llenó toda la casa donde se encontraban. Entonces, aparecieron unas lenguas como de fuego, y se repartieron y fueron a posarse sobre cada uno de ellos. Todos ellos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo, y comenzaron a hablar en otras lenguas, según el Espíritu los llevaba a expresarse.
Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power."
En aquel tiempo vivían en Jerusalén judíos piadosos, qué pena, que venían de todas las naciones conocidas. Al escucharse aquel estruendo, la multitud se juntó y se veían confundidos porque los oían hablar en su propia lengua. Estaban atónitos y maravillados y decían, "Fíjense, ¿acaso no son galileos todos estos que están hablando? ¿Cómo es que los oímos hablar en nuestra lengua materna? Aquí hay partos, medos, elamitas y los que habitamos en Mesopotamia, Judea, Capadocia, el Ponto y Asia. Están los que Frigia y Panfilia, los de Egipto y los de las regiones de África que están más allá de Cirene. También están los romanos que viven aquí, tanto judíos como prostélitos, y, gracias, y cretense y árabes, y todos los escuchamos hablar en nuestra lengua acerca de las maravillas de Dios." Maravillas.
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're just filled with new wine."
Todos ellos estaban atónitos y perplejos, y se decían uno a otros, "¿Y esto qué significa?" Pero otros se burlaban y decían, "Están borrachos."
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is our pastor, Francis Ringenberg. Let's pray. God, send your spirit in power. Bless the tongue of Francis and stir the hearts of all of those gathered here. Glory be to your name. Amen.
Amen. Just before this good reading this morning from Acts 2, the stage is set in Acts 1. Jesus tells the followers, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They then ask, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Their wildest hopes about this gift might be that the Romans would finally be thrown out of Jerusalem and the beloved country would be theirs. Jesus simply continues, you will receive my power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Acts tells us they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And then suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way. They were clearly living in a time and space of mystery. There are things to know and things not to know. We too live in times of mystery. Things we know, things we don't know. We still wait and wonder about the coming of the kingdom. And then came the events we read about today. Tongues of flame and a burst of languages. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And others sneered and said, ha, they are filled with new wine. Filled with new wine also translates to too much wine, simply drunk and full of sweet wine, or translated, others joked, they're drunk on cheap wine. The great joy and wonderful wit of the scriptures. God's glorious humor. I wonder if the heavenly hosts were holding their sides with laughter, cherubim and seraphim gasping and giggling, looking at the small-minded, puny, human critics pointing their fingers, tut-tutting about too much wine, thinking they were able to discredit the marvelous miracle unfolding in front of them, but completely blind to the truth, the real truth. What the world used to disparage and mock was actually quite true. There had been quite a lot of wine. In fact, you could even say it all began with wine. That day of the wedding, the first public outing of Jesus, when the wine ran short for a humble household. A new Galilean couple of modest means was in danger of embarrassment. Not enough wine at the wedding feast. And it was his mother. I mean, even Jesus said, it's not my time yet. But the mother prevailed. The mother knew. A simple Galilean woman launched the work of God the Father Almighty, bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. And it was through the servants. The servants of a humble household, somehow obeying this woman who filled tall jars of water, carrying back and forth, and then daring to bring a taste from those filled jars to the master of ceremonies, who had perhaps already noted that the event was headed for disappointment and a bit of a flat conclusion as the essential supplies of celebration ran out. It was the servants who first saw and knew that simple and plain water had gone in, but somehow what came out was declared the best of wines ever. What could it mean for us today? When it might seem the best is gone, run out. When we feel we don't have enough. There's not enough. Not enough time, not enough people, not enough energy, not enough resources. The wine story reveals much about who Jesus is and what he came to do, and offers a taste of the wonders he will still perform. The sign of abundance that marks the ministry. Again and again, Jesus enters places of not enough, lack of health, of justice, of wisdom, of wholeness, and offers abundance in its place. Then there are also the stories of many dinners, food eaten and wine shared with many, many known as sinners. The gospel according to Matthew records, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Apparently, Jesus' participation in these meals was not half-hearted. The Gospel of Luke tells us, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes, the religious ones, were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats and drinks with them.'" There, breaking bread and sharing cup with the unexpected, those on the margins, outsiders in some way, and outsiders sometimes because of wealth gained in unacceptable ways, ways we wouldn't like either, ill-gotten, through taxes, or in collusion with corrupt government. Maybe even those like people who would vote in ways that offend us today. Jesus breaks those boundaries between who's in and who's out and offers hospitality where there was no hospitality. To eat a meal together is to meet at the level of our most basic need. Jesus was in the midst of the party of life. He was at the center of celebration with people, all kinds of people, from all walks of life, with all kinds of worldviews and lifestyles. Jesus was in the midst of the party of life. Jesus was in the midst of the brokenness of life. Jesus was a lover of people, and he refused to be limited by the expectations of the religious community of the day, and would, I think, be refused to be limited by the exclusions we might name today. Now, I should put in a word here that these wine stories are not about drinking or not drinking, and no acceptance suggested of drunkenness or overindulgence. But they are stories about the celebration of hospitality and welcome and abundance. And then, finally, turning to those closest to him, that night, Jesus took bread and took a cup. How could they understand? How can we understand? It was too much. The ones who had traveled the road with Jesus, often seeming to miss entirely what the mission was about, what their leader Jesus intended. But nevertheless, finally offering himself in the most tangible and real way possible, looking them in the eye. When you do this, remember me. That as Jesus engaged all the principalities and powers of the world, a little bit of himself was carried along in those who followed him. Jesus remained with them. He gave himself, placed himself with them. Jesus nourished them and became a part of their strength and being. And as his own body is carried through the most broken and false system of justice, condemned to die for what is finally true, he comes to overthrow the power systems of the world, those systems turned loose to do their worst, which they accomplish with humiliation and violence, the tools they wield. The wine shared at that final meal becomes life, the very essence of what it means to dwell here on earth, on its roads, in its towns, at table, carrying healing and proclamation. In the bread and the wine, the past and future come to meet us in the presence. Today, we are strengthened by the presence and life of Jesus, strengthened so we can shine in the world. And then Jesus ascended into heaven, the way I learned the Apostles' Creed in fifth grade. Bless that teacher, I didn't understand all of it, but it stuck. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. But before this glorious enthronement, Jesus leaned low and whispered. He whispered, "Wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised. The Spirit poured freely out, still pouring out on Prairie Street Mennonite Church. And here we are, remembering that day, celebrating Pentecost, when all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' And others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' And all the folks in the street could say was, 'Too much wine.' Wine at the beginning, at the wedding, abundance where there before had been not enough. New wine that had never been grapes. Wine shared freely at tables, bringing down walls, crossing barriers, discounting religiosity. And then the cup that was Jesus himself, carrying us to new creation. And here we are. May we also dip the bread, dip the cup filled with grape juice from Martin's grocery, and somehow find it too much, more than we bargained for, more than we could expect, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. And maybe with any luck, or rather with the blessing of the Spirit, folks in our streets will look at Prairie Street Mennonite Church too, amazed and perplexed, and ask, "What's going on here? Too much of that new wine." Amen.
Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 299. 299, New Earth, Heavens New.